Good evening. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me tonight for my Tuesday night Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. I look forward to your questions this evening. A little bit about me, if you've not read my book or listened to one of these calls, I'm a board-certified chiropractic physician, board-certified nutritional specialist, and I've been in private practice for the last 24 years. For the last 18 years, I have specialized in fibromyalgia. For a number of years, I owned a very large integrative medical practice here in Birmingham, Alabama, on the campus of Brookwood Hospital, where I had medical doctors and support staff that worked for me. And we did integrative medicine. We combined very judicious use of prescription medication and naturals to treat a variety of patients from all over the Southeast. But 2003, I sold that practice. So that was when the first edition of my Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome book hit the bookstores, and I have been out practicing solo ever since. The book is now in its fifth edition, available in most bookstores, including Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com, Amazon, and the book is really, in a lot of ways, literally changed my life, because I never would have thought that years ago, when I was just doing what you consider usual chiropractic, working with patients with low back pain and headaches and carpal tunnel, that kind of thing, I never thought 25 years ago or so that I would be specializing in fibromyalgia and doing phone consults, which makes up about 95% of my practice now. I work with patients all throughout North America. I never could imagine that I would be doing what I'm doing now, but I really can't imagine doing anything else but this now at this point. And fortunately, I'm one of those people. Sometimes you may think that they're rare, but I'm one of those people who really loves what they do and gets to do what they love. So I'm really fortunate, and God has blessed me. But what I have learned with fibromyalgia is that really traditional medicine is a dead end. So if you read any of my blogs, watching my videos, or read my book, you know that's not anything new to you. But for those of you, this may be your first call tonight. I need to just set the tone right off the bat, is that the approach that I use, a functional medicine approach, looks for the causes of fibromyalgia, not just to cover up the symptoms, but to look to find and fix the causes. You see, I think that the only hope for somebody with fibromyalgia that is so far outside the medical system that their only hope is to get healthy. And that sounds simple, but really it's your only option that really works, at least long term. I'm not anti-drug. I'm not anti-drug at all. But the problem is, with fibromyalgia, there's just so many daggum symptoms that if you start to try to cover up all the symptoms with medication, before you know it, you're on half a dozen to a dozen different prescription drugs, pills to put you to sleep, pills to wake you up, pills to slow you down, pills to speed you up. And every one of those medications has potential side effects, and many of those side effects are greatly magnified in those with fibromyalgia, who oftentimes have funny reactions to medications and have chemical sensitivities. So I really do believe, after doing this for almost two decades, that the key to really helping someone get their life back to feeling good is getting them healthy. And that sounds simple, but it's really not, because one of the first things you have to do is know where the person's broken down. You can't just guess. What I'd like to do tonight, as I've been doing the last few weeks, I'd like to bring on one of my patients who's been working with me, and one of my favorite patients. I guess I say that all the time, but I've got so many patients that just have become part of my family at the clinic, and we just love Jenny. She's one of our favorites, and she's just always she's a kindergarten teacher. How could you be anything but great and you know, be a kindergarten teacher? So she's fabulous. Anybody can put up with you know, 5-year-olds is pretty special in my book. So let's see here. We see if we can get. So, Jenny, if you're on the line, if you could hit *6, that'll bring you on live.
Hello.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Dr. Murphy.
How are you? I know how you are. You're doing great.
I am doing great. Thank you. Thank you for the very kind introduction.
Well, I mean every word of it. You know it. So I really, really appreciate you coming on this call and taking time to do so. What I'd like to do is just, you know, have you share your story. Can you tell us, I think, that when we originally started working together, I guess back in July, August of last year, you told me that it had been about 7 or 8 years since you actually felt good. And you had a lot of different issues going on. But do you mind just kind of sharing what was going on when we first met this past summer?
Sure. I was trying to look back. There's been so many things. Really, I think a lot of my issues honestly started about 15 years ago, but were pretty manageable up until about 6 or 7 years ago, and that would have been after my third child, my daughter, was born. And, you know, my issues originally had started. I had a lot of digestive reflux, some allergy and sinus issues. But again, all were pretty manageable. But gosh, after she was born, I just never truly bounced back. One of the things I had was just like weird aches and pains. I know towards the end of my pregnancy, my hands really bothered me, and we attributed it to the pregnancy. Or just maybe some carpal tunnel syndrome. Nobody really knew why. One of the big things was I ended up having to take off my wedding ring because my hand would just hurt so much all the time. And that's been one of my biggest thrills and successes on top of feeling so much better is that I'm actually able to wear my wedding ring again after 6.5 years of not being able, or about 7 years of not being able to wear it.
Sure, your husband appreciates that. Yeah,
because I got a cheap faker, fake one that I wore for a while just because I was having a ring on. But even that just having anything on my hands. But it means so much to me to be able to wear my wedding ring again, which to me that was a big victory. Just those little things that I have noticed here lately, and I try to acknowledge as much as I can because I do just feel so much better. I was just absolutely exhausted all the time.
I remember it, extreme fatigue, not fatigue, but
right.
Extreme fatigue.
Right.
You were pretty low.
I was so tired. I wasn't sleeping well. So I would go to bed, I would wake up, and I was still tired. It took everything I had to get out of bed in the morning. I would hurt when I woke up, took forever to get going, and then, to make it through the day. And really, I just really didn't have anything left for my family once I got home. I did the best I could, and I made it through, but it was a constant battle all the time. One of the things I would finally use to describe it to my husband is it just felt heavy, tired. It felt like I had the heavy, wet blanket over me all day long.
You were just exhausted. I mean, you're basically, you had broken down years ago, and somehow you were just doing what you had to do, but it wasn't fun, was it?
No, it was not fun at all. So I think it was I got through by the sheer grace of God. And I was able to make it through each day, but yeah, it was definitely pretty miserable. And, again, there was nothing conclusive. The doctors, my blood work would always come back okay. And we couldn't figure out really what was wrong. I just knew I didn't feel well. My doctors would tell me, well, just to exercise more, eat better. And, I had tried different things, but with some of my digestive issues, it was confusing as to what, one doctor said I should eat one thing, another said another thing, and nothing was working. And so it was, and then that was when I was finally diagnosed then with the fibromyalgia, which was it was nice to have an answer, but it was also kind of frustrating because I felt like that was just the answer they gave because we didn't know what else to call it. And it was just kind of like, here you go. You have fibromyalgia. Good luck with that. And there's really nothing I could do. So that was hard. And I know, I think they had given me at one point an antidepressant to help sleep at night. which was tricky because I had to really watch when I took it because it made it even harder to get up in the morning. Until I finally stopped taking that because it really wasn't helping me sleep. And that was a big thing. You know, I missed being able to sleep because I was so tired.
Well, so when we started, your four main things, and you had several because you had these, the gastroparesis, and you had these GI issues with the IBS. But the four main things you put that you really wanted to work on was the extreme fatigue, the mm-hmm. overall pain, the low pain tolerance, and you were taking tramadol, I think one or two a day, not a lot, but one or two a day. You really didn't sleep, or at least if you did, you certainly didn't feel like you slept. So that was number three, and then you had some low metabolism. So you gained some weight, and you're kind of a small person like I am, and so that was really bugging you too. Tell me the pain. Your pain was all over pain, right?
Yes, it was. You know, definitely concentrated, you know, that neck and shoulders, lower back. And I had a lot of just pain in my hands and feet, but it was just this all over, everything just hurt. You know, it would hurt if somebody came up to shake my hand. You know, I mean, it just was a really, I was just very sensitive to pain.
Did the tramadol, did you feel like it helped very much?
I would say it took the edge off, but it never really took the pain away.
Right.
And so, you know, I was taking that, you know, and I still take that occasionally. But I find now that it actually will, if I take it now, it takes the pain completely away, if there's pain. Mm-hmm. Where before it was just enough to kind of make things a little more tolerable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Again, you know, nothing ever got rid of that pain.
And then you were taking quite a bit of ibuprofen.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
It was a lot. I mean, that was truly just to get through the day. And that's where I'm like, you know, this is crazy. And mm-hmm. there was no end in sight to that.
Well, so tell me, you also had these issues with, let me ask you this. So how's your pain now? I think, well, I know what you're going to say, but how is your pain now?
You know, it's amazing. It just honestly, you know, there are days it's still there, but I can definitely feel now like, ooh, you know, the fibromyalgia might be flaring up. It's a change in the weather. Where before, looking back, I was just in a constant fibro flare all the time. Where now, you know, I'm learning to kind of gauge, or if I've done a little bit too much a day before, I kind of have to watch that. But it's nothing like it was before. You know, I can get up and get out of bed in the morning and walk down the stairs and really not feel any pain. And it's amazing.
Yeah, I think one of the things you shared with me is before it was something you constantly, it was just there. It was one of those things that it was always there. You woke up with it, you thought about it, you went to bed, you thought about it. But then as you started to get better, you found that it really wasn't an issue. Now, it didn't totally go away as you've described.
Right.
It wasn't something that you really thought about anymore.
No, and that's what, you know, and I'm still amazed by that. And I'm still, you know, I'll catch myself and I'll point it out to my husband every now and then, like, hey, I just did this. And, you know, a year ago, I couldn't have done this. Or
yeah.
It is. It's just, I'm so very thankful for that. And that constant battle.
Well, tell me about your energy level, because now I know one of the things that you know, and this sounds funny to people that don't have fibromyalgia, don't understand this, but you really were so happy to be able to keep your house clean, to be able to cook. I mean, to think, most people would hear that and think, you know, that doesn't mean anything to me. But people who have fibromyalgia, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal, you know, because you start to feel, or at least I started to feel kind of worthless. You know, there were so many things that needed to be done that I wanted to do, and I just couldn't do it. You know, I had just given everything. And so, you know, to be able to, clean the house or do something, you know, get up and clean a ceiling fan, which sounds so crazy, but to be able to do that, to have the strength to quit and still be able to move the next day, it's a huge thing. Like, I feel like I can contribute to my family now, or, you know, I can come home after school and cook dinner and not, you know, really have to struggle to do that. Or, you know, I can do these things and I can play with my kids. And, you know, this winter being able to go outside and play in the snow with them and not have it hurt all over when I did that. So it's been, I just can't, I try to remind myself and to think back of, you know, all the things that I couldn't do just to make sure that I am fully appreciating everything I can do. Because it's a little for granted, honestly. And I'm so thankful.
You had a lot of issues, too, with your immune system. Really, that was kind of one of your weak links is chronic sinus infections, upper respiratory infections.
Well, I am so excited. This was great timing for this. But I realized I was actually at the doctor this week only because, you know, this is our change of seasons here in Ohio, and that always seems to get me sinus-wise. I have not had to take an antibiotic since the beginning of October. So I've had one bout of bronchitis for our entire winter, which is huge for me. Because normally...
Yeah, I don't want to jinx you.
Oh, I know. I don't either. But, you know, and that, well, that's because I do have a little bit of bronchitis right now. So for me to make it all the way from October to mid-March, it's unheard of. And it's probably the first time that has happened. And honestly, I can't remember when. But we're talking, you know, probably over 10 years at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because normally what will happen, I will normally get that sinus infection in the fall, and I just can never really get over it. You know, and I've been off a lot of my sinus and allergy medicine, and I have made it through this whole winter. And so to me, that's huge right there.
So one of the things that, I mean, that this poor immune function was one of the clues that was validated that you had something the matter with your thyroid.
Yes.
And when we did the blood work and that came back, and you had a TSH that was 3.0. Now, in conventional medical testing, they would tell you that's fine because it's below the
right.
usual range, 4.5, 5.2. But you had all the symptoms of low thyroid. And in the functional medicine, the way that I practice and other doctors who practice like I do, anything above 3.0 is low thyroid. So, I really feel like one of the things that turned the tide, two things, we got off to a rocky start with your sleep. I mean, that was hard those first 2 months. But the two things I think really turned the tide, you tell me because I'm always learning, getting you on the thyroid because
mm-hmm.
you had the fatigue, the headaches, cold hands, cold feet, the migraines, fluid retention, low blood pressure, frequent colds, sore throats, low moods, poor concentration, poor memory, weight gain. You had all these issues, which all screams out low thyroid. But the other thing, besides just getting on the over-the-counter thyroid, which I think you know took a little bit of time to make a difference, but then the anti-inflammatory weight loss diet, once you started feeling better, and we could start that in October, it just seemed like that was kind of the thing that really started to pull it all together.
Absolutely. And I remember at that time thinking like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to start this because I knew it was going to be a pretty intense diet. And I, you know, at that point, yeah, it was still kind of iffy. You know, I was feeling better, but not as great as I felt like I needed to. And, but yeah, boy, once we got started and I think I got through some of that detox and got some of the things out of my system. It's been nothing but good things since. Go ahead. No, you're fine.
I was going to say, so being on the diet, it's interesting, but, you know, what people tell me, of course, I've done the diet myself, but you see that your energy actually goes up because your metabolism goes up.
Definitely. And I think my metabolism, that's one of the things, you know, I've struggled with for years, just with all the digestive issues that I've had, I've just felt for a long time now that my metabolism is just completely out of whack. So something like this, that we were able to fix it, it's just that was really, I think, a huge key. And, you know, I remember you telling me at one point, you know, well, that you were proud of me for, you know, my success with the diet and working so hard and that you knew that the diet was hard. And, you know, it hit me later that the diet, yeah, it's definitely a challenge because you're changing some of your thinking and how you're eating. But for me, it truly wasn't nearly as hard as trying to get through every day not feeling good. Nothing was that hard. So the diet, while it was challenging, it was definitely doable. And yeah, it still is. You know, I mean, it's still, I'm learning still every day, like what my body reacts well to, what it doesn't react well to, what I think I'm sensitive to. And, you know, it's just, it's pretty simple then once you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I can't imagine, you know, one, it's not worth it to me to eat some of those things that are going to make me feel that terrible again. And
oh,
for me,
yeah,
that's just what those things do. So, you know, it's something that's worth it to me to know and to take that extra time to just pay closer attention to what I eat.
Well, tell me, now you lost, what, 45 pounds or somewhere around there? I mean, a good bit of weight.
It's totally now it's a little over 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people hear that and they think, number one, they don't think it's possible. They think you starved,
yep,
and it was unhealthy and it was dangerous. And then the other thing is they think that it's all about just losing the weight. And it's not. I mean, the weight loss is important because it changes your biochemistry. It increases your metabolism. You store inflammatory chemicals in those fat cells, so you're lowering your inflammation. The big thing is, yeah, you look better. You know, I mean, for most people, if they lose that weight, they feel like they look better. But you're just, you know, if you're not carrying around an additional 50 pounds that you don't need, you're going to have more energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, you know, and that's what I tell people. I think, you know, yes, the weight loss, it is definitely, it's been great, and I do love that part of it. But what I love even more is feeling better. So to me, that's the bigger thing, is just how much better I feel. And honestly, what people will tell me is just that I look healthy, and I think I look healthy. And for me to be able to say, I'm healthy right now, I can't even begin to tell you. It's probably the first time in my adult life that I've truly felt healthy. And
yeah,
so
awesome.
It really is. Like, it's crazy to me to think that a person could go that long feeling unhealthy, but truly, I there were so many different little things that would come and go, and, you know, just things I couldn't get rid of that I never truly felt healthy. And I do feel healthy now. And, you know, feeling like there's a lot of things I can't control. You know, I can't control that I have fibromyalgia, and it's always going to be there. But I can control what I eat and how I take care of myself to deal with that. So that's a huge thing.
Well, so what would you share with those who are listening or may listen to a replay of this? What are some of your suggestions, or what's your advice?
I think truly just never give up. For me, I had tried so many different things, and, you know, when I came across your article, I was almost really just afraid to even hope that this could be an answer, because I had done a lot of research, especially for a couple of years prior. But to give it a chance, and, you know, and to really be open to that. And definitely, you know, I've recommended your book to several people now. And, you know, I've had a lot of people, especially here recently, asking, you know, what I've done, and, you know, they see a big difference. And so I share that with them just because, you know, everybody is so different. And For me, your approach was so helpful because you were willing to take that time and kind of look outside the box and figure out what was going on. So definitely, you know, I think if fibromyalgia is something you're struggling with, you have so many just great protocols that you use, and I just have appreciated that.
Well, what was it like to work with me by phone? I don't know if I've ever really asked you by that, but what was that like?
Well, it was a little awkward at first, just because it was so different for me. You know, here I am, I read your book, and I think, okay, but it was a huge risk, and to have to tell my husband, hey, there's this doctor in Alabama, and I really would like to work with him. And so, the funny thing, part of the story, and I don't know if I ever told you this, but when we started, I said, all right, well, here's the deal. We're going to do this. If this works, I'm going to be this guy's biggest fan. If it doesn't work, we are not telling anyone we went with an internet doctor, because I feel crazy. So all right, well, this has definitely worked. So, yeah, now I do have to. So I'm still kind of hesitant sometimes because people do give you that weird look, like, really, your doctor is in Alabama because, you know, of course,
right.
I'm in Ohio.
Right.
But I tell everybody, gosh, you know, you were really great at putting me at ease and saying, you know, I think especially, too, when you get into medicine that's highly specialized, and I have a son with some medical issues, so we've dealt with some things with him that, you know, you're not always going to find a doctor in your area. And quite honestly, it worked out great, you know, just having access and being able to call or email you with questions, you know, having that appointment time and being able to just sit at home and call you on the phone and not have to drive to an appointment. So it's kind of a time saver that way. But between you and Juno, you both just totally put me at ease. I remember one of the things Juno told me, because I think that first day I said, you know, I'm feeling a little bit crazy doing this. This feels like a risk. You know, I'm hoping this guy is the real deal. And as she said, oh, sweetheart, don't you worry. You know, Dr. Murphy prays every day for God to send him people he can help. And, you know, that was so touching to me. And I thought, okay, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm just so thankful that I did.
Yeah. Well, you are such a wonderful person, and I feel blessed that I've been able to be a part of your life, and I'm just so thankful that you're doing so well. It just makes me excited to hear it again.
But I'm just so thankful that you do what you do, and you know, that you do just take this risk, and you take extra time to meet with people all over and to truly help, because when you're a person with fibromyalgia and you've gone to so many different doctors who constantly tell you that you're fine, simply because they don't know anything else to tell you, it's just so disheartening. And to finally find somebody who understands and who was able to help me, I just can't thank you enough.
Well, Jenny, you are so... Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just going to say, and I know my family thanks you too. So.
Oh, great. Well, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming on tonight, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Murphy. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you.
So, I mean, what a great story. I mean, Jenny's just a wonderful person. You can hear that in her voice. I mean, she's just a sweet, wonderful person, and I'm so delighted that we've been able to turn her around and get her back to feeling good again. I think for most people, whether you have fibromyalgia or not, you kind of just settle. You kind of, you know, you get in your 30s and maybe some of your poor health habits when you're younger start to catch up with you in your 30s or 40s, certainly in your 50s. And, you know, it used to be doctors would tell you, well, you're just getting older. Of course, you know, now we see people who are in their 70s and 80s running marathons and doing things that we, you know, some of us can only dream about. So, you know, age is really not the factor, but it's really just taking care of yourself. And it's, unfortunately, so many people don't really know how to do that. And we've come to rely on a system, industrialized Western medicine, that is pretty much focused on treating symptoms. And while there's a time and there's a place for that, and it's, you know, it's certainly, you know, it's the right thing for the people who want that. But just taking a drug to cover up a symptom, covering up a warning light and ignoring the cause of the warning light, oftentimes leads to more health problems. And with fibro, again, if you've got, you know, I mean, you've got poor sleep and you've got diffuse achy muscle pain and fatigue and irritable bowel syndrome and migraine and cold hands, cold feet and poor immune system and chronic sinusitis, you know, before you know it, they're giving you a drug for every one of those things. And a lot of those drugs have the mirror image, and the symptoms are the mirror image of the symptoms of fibro. So you're on 6 to 12 different drugs, and you don't know, is it the drugs giving you problems, or is it the fibro? Is it a fibro flare day, or is it the drugs? And most doctors don't understand fibromyalgia. They just don't, and that's what you run into when you go to most of the doctors out there. They're going to tell you that they really don't know much about fibro. So they try to put you on whatever medications are being hyped by the drug companies and the drug reps at that time. Right now, it's, of course, still Lyrica. And now they're going back. Now they're telling people you know, you need to go on Neurontin. Of course, we've already gone through the cycle of Neurontin, and people had so many side effects they quit taking Neurontin. So, but now it's Lyrica. Kissing Cousins is really the same drug. They're just supposedly you can take a lower dose of Lyrica so you have less side effects. But drugs really are not the answer for fibromyalgia, at least not long term. That really the way you reverse this thing, now you can never cure it because it's your weak link. But if you can put it back in the closet and you can keep it there, as long as you get healthy and you stay healthy, you don't. The straw that breaks the camel's back for those with fibromyalgia, the catalyst that brings these things on, just like for Jenny, was stress. So she was under a tremendous amount of stress. She had she didn't share her entire story, but the pregnancies that she has a special needs son that needs a lot of attention. She got a wonderful family that needs a lot of attention, but. And then working, and just something along the way, she just ran out of gas, and her self-regulating mechanisms quit working. So because of that, she could not handle stress. Stress became magnified. It became more and more pronounced, such that things that she normally could do and take for granted were almost insurmountable, you know. And that's what I encounter with a lot of my patients, most all of my patients. Is they oftentimes were very active in their past lives, you know, before fibromyalgia showed up. And now they can't imagine doing the things that they used to do. I mean, they used to garden. They used to work full-time. They used to travel all over. They used to exercise, do aerobics. Now, for some of them, it's a Herculean task just to get out of bed, get dressed, put their makeup on, and go somewhere. And, I think that what, you know, what my mission is to let folks know that they have options, and traditional medicine is not the best one, and that they can feel better. They certainly can. They can reverse their fibro if they'll just invest in themselves by getting healthy, whether that's working with me and doing a program like Jenny, finding a doctor who practices like I do. But you can feel good again. You definitely can. And that's why I like to have some of my patients come on and share their story. And I have them in the book as well. And there's other testimonials on the treatingandbeating.com site. You can listen to audios of past calls and past testimonials. Well, so what I want to do tonight is I want to take your questions. So if you got a question, if you'll hit star 6, that'll bring you on the line, and I'll take your question. If you will,
hello.
State your name. If you'll state your name when you come on, so I can call you out by name, and then after you ask your question, after we're finished, if you will self-mute yourself with your phone so we don't get any background noise. Yeah, go ahead.
Sharon?
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Where do I start?
Just jump right in.
I have a consult with you tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
And I am so overwhelmed. I don't know where to begin. Do you have anyone that you absolutely cannot help?
Well, I do. I mean, the first consult really is an opportunity for a couple of things to happen. One is I want to make sure that the patient feels comfortable with me. That what I'm sharing with them, our interaction, it makes sense. They feel comfortable. And then the second thing, I want to make sure that I can help that patient. If I can, I'm going to let them know I'm not a Lyme specialist. That's not my specialty. So if someone has Lyme disease and fibromyalgia, and the Lyme disease is the predominant illness, I'm going to let them know that. I'm going to try to help them find somebody who can treat Lyme. If they have fibro, then, yeah, I'm going to feel pretty confident that they're in the right place. But that's really what that meeting is all about.
Yeah, I am in the middle of reading your book. I've read a lot of your post on Facebook, and you get it. It's like, I get emotional about this. you have given me so much hope that I'll be able to return to life again. So whatever it takes, I need to do this. I had extensive shoulder surgery in January, and I was not expecting the fibromyalgia to be exacerbated to the point where it could hardly function.
Yeah, yeah. Well, any stressor when you have fibro, it just is so magnified because you know, as you read in the book and you've heard me talk about it, you have bankrupted your stress coping chemicals, so you just don't have them. And stress is something that you just can't handle, whether that's changes in the weather or getting sick or having a surgery or exercise. I mean, you just can't handle it. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeannie's an analogy of being under a wet blanket is, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that was
mm-hmm.
very right on. About 7 years ago, I was living in Virginia, and I went to a wellness chiropractor, probably similar to yourself, and she had this machine called a Zyto machine, and this machine could read, it was computerized, of course, and it could read all the systems in your body, and it could determine what you needed and what you didn't need, right down to the brand of supplement. And are you familiar with anything like that?
I am. That's EAV. I'm not familiar with that particular machine, but that's electrical acupuncture by Volt. And yeah, I think there's some merit to that. Now, you know, of course, you know, I do blood work and I do functional medicine testing. I find it to be much more accurate. I don't want to step over my toes. But I will say this, and this is going to sound the wrong way, but I'm just compelled to say it. There is nobody like me that does what I do in chiropractic. And I don't mean that to sound to be braggadocious, but I want to say that because I think that if I don't say that, I'm concerned that people who have been to chiropractors and say they treat fibromyalgia or say they treat whatever it is, they're going to lump me in with them. And there's some wonderful chiropractors out there. There's some wonderful medical doctors out there. But I don't want to be lumped in with anybody because I think
right.
that you have to be in the trenches with fibromyalgia patients day in and day out for years, and that's all I do. So I'm not trying to say I'm any better than anybody, but I just want to make sure I make it clear that all I do is fibromyalgia and, you know, and definitely, you know, I do blood testing and things that are probably a little more recognized.
Yeah, I wasn't equating you with her, but I wanted to get to the point where during her analysis, she determined that I, on a scale from 1 to 10, I was a 2, that I was so full of toxins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was at that point where I literally thought I was going to die.
Oh, gosh. Now, how long ago was this, Sharon?
About 7 years ago.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. And
she couldn't do a detox on me because I was so low, she had to build me up.
Yeah.
On a cellular level.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is, are the supplements that you use, is that basically what they do is they build you up from...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. So do the supplements that I use, do they build you up? In a way, they do. So a couple of things. One is I use high doses, but the right doses, safe doses, of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids that actually make the biochemicals that make the body work like they're supposed to. So they make your hormones, they make your neurotransmitters, your brain chemical. Serotonin comes from an amino acid that you can get over the counter, 5-hydroxytryptophan that I use in my practice, plus B vitamins, magnesium, and vitamin C. That's when serotonin comes from. It doesn't come from Prozac or Celexa or Cymbalta. So by using the right combination, high doses oftentimes, but right combination of these things, you can actually change and correct the biochemistry. The other thing about using the vitamins and minerals is it lays the foundation. So one of the things I talk about, I use the analogy in the book, is that when I moved in this house that I'm in right now 13 years ago, the backyard was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. So a friend of mine who has a green thumb and does landscaping came over, and he hauled in and kept hauling in truckload after truckload of dirt. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, finally we started planting stuff. But the point he made to me is very clear, that if we didn't lay the foundation, it didn't matter what we tried to plant, nothing would grow. And
yep.
So that's where that jumpstart pack is all about, is to make sure we shore up any deficiencies and address any issues that need to be addressed. And oftentimes by doing that, you'll see that that'll make a big improvement. And, oftentimes that's a good place to start.
Yeah, back during that period, someone told me about 5-HTP, so I started taking it. And I'm seeing now, reading your book, the protocol that I was using was minuscule compared to what you're saying possibly couldn't need. So I'm really looking forward to taking that and having it give me a good night's sleep more than once a week.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to that, too. Yeah, so you say we got a consult tomorrow.
Yes.
Is that right? Oh, wonderful. I look forward to it.
I do, too, more than you.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to share or ask this evening?
There's just one comment. I was on Cymbalta for a number of years, and I determined I was wasting my money. It got to the point where it wasn't doing anything. It was shutting down my emotions. And so I went to my doctor and I told her I wanted to get off it. And she didn't want me to get off it. And I said, I don't care. I'm getting off it. Well, I did a lot of research on my own. And the protocol that the doctors that were using were, you go down to 15 milligram capsules, and then you take it apart and count the beads until you can get yourself low enough where you can get off it. To my chagrin, I didn't follow that. I let her guide me, and we went from 60, 2 weeks later 30, 2 weeks later 15, and then off. Mm-hmm. And I had the withdrawal from hell.
Yeah.
It was 5 weeks of absolute terrible, terrible withdrawal.
Yeah.
But I'm off it. So I'm encouraged that when I start with you, I don't have to fight through that anymore. But I would encourage anybody that's even thinking about Cymbalta, do your homework.
Yeah. The thing about Cymbalta, it's a selective serotonin and norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. So serotonin is very calming, and it can help with pain and depression. And norepinephrine is very stimulating, so it can give you energy, and it helps with pain. The problem is that it's a reuptake inhibitor. And if there's no serotonin or norepinephrine reuptake in your brain because it's so depleted, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
But if you try to come off of that, you can see just how, what a hold that medication has on you, because you try to come off of it and you get withdrawal symptoms. A lot of times people will get the withdrawal symptoms and think that they need to stay on the medicine. And medicine's really not doing it.
Had those thoughts, but I just was so determined that I couldn't go on. Number one, it was expensive, and it wasn't helping. It was doing more harm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I toughed through it even in spite of my doctor.
Yeah. Well, great. I'm glad you're off of it. Be one less thing you have to do. Good.
Yes, I am very glad. Is there a specific diet that you work with, or?
No, I mean, there's a diet, the anti-inflammatory weight loss diet is a specific diet. But if you look in the book, there's all kind of different diets. It just depends on what the patient needs. And what I've learned over the last 20 years, there's no one thing for everybody. It just doesn't work that way. Everybody is different on the inside as they are on the outside. And because of that, everybody's going to need a specific program, if they're working with me, a specific program tailored for them based on their own needs and based on what the tests show.
Well, that's good. That's encouraging, too, because there's not a one size fit all. That brings up the last question. I think I'm taking up the whole time here, but your supplements, do you, I don't know what it's called, blend them to fit a specific person, or is there a formula that fits most?
Everybody is different. The CFS Fibro formula is a formula that I developed for and for a company called Douglas Laboratories, which they've been bought out by Atrium, and which is a Canadian company that's been bought out again. But they're the largest vitamin manufacturer in the world who sell only to physicians. But that CFS Fibro formula, I developed that, you know, probably 13, 14 years ago, and that was developed to shore up any kind of deficiencies. At that time, patients were coming into the medical practice that I had, and they were getting intravenous IV therapy. And so I wanted to come up with a way they didn't have to come in and get the IV therapy all the time. So I have developed some of these supplements. Other supplements come from pharmaceutical-grade facilities that actually sell only to physicians, so we know the quality is good. But you can, you know, as far as the supplements, you can learn, you can learn more about those on the treatingandbeating.com site, or it can tell you all about the different supplements that, not all of them, because some of them we don't put on the website. I can't, you know, they need to be monitored, but a lot of them are on the website that you can read about those.
So do you recommend that I go off the supplements I'm currently taking before we start your protocol?
Well, let's talk tomorrow. We'll go into detail, yeah.
Okay, that's great. That's great.
Okay, I look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
Hi, doctor.
Hi,
my name is Jessica. I just kind of found you on Facebook a few minutes ago and kind of came in a little late. I see that you have a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
The consultation, can you bill that to insurance, or is that something that you have to pay up front?
No, my clinic doesn't take insurance. And
okay.
The phone consult would, that, you know, I guess maybe one day they'll start to cover those, but they certainly don't cover those now. And I would, you know, if this is the first time you've heard me speak, or I would encourage you to go to the treatingandbeating.com site if you haven't.
Okay.
And if you go to the treatingandbeating.com, like my book, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia book, there's a lot of videos on there about my protocols. There's all kind of free audios you can listen to. And if you haven't read the book, I'd encourage you, you know, after you look at all these free things, to think about, does this make sense to you?
It does. I've been battling this for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a small town in Virginia. I'm in the medical field. I do medical billing. So I have friends that are doctors, of course, and they're just kind of throwing medicine at me and not really trying to help me. So I've been doing my research, and I found that you were doing a conference call, so I kind of jumped in just to see what was going on.
Sure.
So this is definitely something I want to check into.
Great. Well, so what I would encourage you to do, if you're interested, anybody's interested in a consult, I do phone consults, and I also do inpatient consults, so people actually do come to the clinic periodically. You can go to the treatingandbeating.com, treatingandbeating, like the book, .com.
Okay.
And there you'll see information about the consults. You can fill out paperwork online. You can send that in, and or you can call our clinic. They'll be happy to answer any kind of questions that you have. But there, again, you'll find free videos, free audios, free articles, all type of resources there for you to see if, you know, if this is the right step for you.
Okay. And you had mentioned patients who have fibro and Lyme's disease. Is that kind of, do they kind of mirror each other with the symptoms?
Well, they do in some ways. They're vastly different animals. But, you know, fibro, you've got so many symptoms that it can be, it can just be incredibly intimidating to any doctor that comes across a fibro patient, which are very long laundry list. Same thing with Lyme. So what happens is both patients tend to fall through the cracks. You know, they're kind of medical misfits. There's no real place for them in the conventional 10-minute office visit. You know, it ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they share that similarity. But they're really different. However, you can have both. I mean, you can have patients who get Lyme and then go on to develop fibromyalgia. You can have patients with fibromyalgia who then get Lyme. So you can have co-infections or co-illnesses. And I'm not a Lyme expert. That's what I was saying earlier. That's not my specialty. That's a whole other world. I know a great deal about it because I've had to learn that. But I'm not the best person at it. There's other people that are. Fibromyalgia is my thing. And so as long as someone's got fibro, I'm really comfortable with that. And the things that go with that, the mood disorders, the low thyroid, the adrenal fatigue, the food allergies, the yeast overgrowth, all that kind of stuff, you know. But Lyme is such a beast. It's such a beast,
Yeah, I have an aunt that had, well, my grandfather was 95 years old. He passed away because he ended up with Lyme's disease untreated because he's hard-headed. And my mom keeps telling me I have Lyme's disease, but I was in a car accident, and I broke my back and all my ribs, my collarbone. I'm not supposed to be walking. Yeah, but I am. 14 years ago, and I started having pain 5 years ago, and they're just saying, oh, it's arthritis, just arthritis from the car accident.
Yeah.
But it's not. So I'm trying to, as a patient, you are your biggest advocate. So I am doing my research, and I'm so blessed to have found you this evening, watched your video, and found you were doing a conference call. So I thank you very much for what you do, and hopefully I'll be talking to you soon.
Well, great, Jessica. Thanks for your question and your comments. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so we got any other callers on the line that got questions this evening?
Dr. Lowell.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Let's see, we probably may have two people online, so if you'll state your name, I'll call one of you out at a time. I'll get both of your questions up.
I'm Pam.
Hi, Pam.
And I'm Cindy.
Hi.
Okay, so Pam, Linda, and Cindy, okay?
And there's
Pam,
another Cindy.
Two Cindy, okay. Okay, so Pam's first.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually have a phone consult scheduled with you, and I know I probably could have called and talked to Juno to ask this question, but maybe others might be interested in the answer too. I was wondering how the blood work works if you determine that additional labs are needed other than what my physician has done. Is that something that you just order and I have done in my local area?
Yes. So if in the consult, what I do is I'll go through the consult. I'll look at any past blood work that the person has. They share that with me. And we'll go through, 45 minutes or so of me asking questions, doing detective work, trying to just kind of figure out where the potential problems are and why they're there, sharing that with you so you understand that. And then if I feel like I can help the person, then I let them know that. If I don't, then I will share that with them and make suggestions about what they need to do. But if I feel like I can help them, then I will give them options, get tell them what their options are, so, you know, depending on what those options are.
Uh-huh.
And if they need blood work, then I will share with them what blood work they need. And typically that can be ordered, and the patient goes there locally in their town to have that done, and then I get
okay.
those results. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would not have to, you could order that yourself then, correct? I wouldn't have to go to a physician locally to have it done?
No, and I tell you, I don't really work with other physicians. I know that's going to sound wrong. That may...
It really doesn't to me.
Yeah. But the reason why I don't, Pam, is because I've tried to do that in the past, and what happens is the patient will go to and a lot of that, of course, is a doctor they've known for years, and the doctor gets their toes stepped on, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they give you the funny look about, oh, you're working with somebody on the Internet, so we still got that stigma. And then
yeah.
number three, they're trying to kind of talk you out of the labs that I'm recommending. They've never done these labs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They should have done them, but they don't really know what they are. So I just do my own labs. And that way I know they're going to get done, I get what I need, and I make sure that I don't miss anything.
Okay. Now, I have another couple of questions, if you don't mind. I won't occupy all the time, but I feel like I have a lot of inflammation in my body, but yet, my doctor did blood work, and my sedimentation rate is good. Is that an all-inclusive lab in itself? I mean, is there any way that I could be really having inflammation in my body and have that come back normal?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's other inflammatory markers that should be checked. C-reactive protein, CRP, should be checked. Depending on your pain and what's gone on in the past, then maybe an ANA, you know. Sed rate's a good start. It's kind of a good marker. But a lot of times what you see with fibromyalgia patients is their blood work all comes back normal, at least the conventional blood work that's done. You know, that comes back.
Yeah.
They tell you that everything looks good, you know, and you're thinking, well, I sure don't feel good. But the pain is oftentimes what I call silent inflammation, doesn't show up on blood work. And it's carried around in extra fat cells. But it's also part of any kind of degeneration that you have, osteoarthritis, which is wear and tear arthritis. Jessica was talking about a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
She got osteoarthritis in addition to her fibro. And your pain threshold is low. So pain is magnified, and so anything that's triggering pain is going to be much more pronounced, and that's what you got to work on.
Okay, you know, this is odd, but I actually feel like so inflamed that it feels like that my temperature is high or something, that there's
mm-hmm.
heat generating from my body, like even my
yeah.
breath is warm. I don't know. I've never heard anybody else talk about having that issue before, but that's how I feel. Now, you had mentioned earlier about some amino acids that increase serotonin, and I tried to write that down, but I didn't write fast enough, and so,
mm-hmm. So, yeah, so one of the things I would encourage everybody to do, again, is go to the treatingandbeating.com site, because you can read all about 5-HTP and how it helps your sleep and moods and pain. But 5-HTP is 5-hydroxytryptophan, and that comes from the amino acid tryptophan, which people have heard about and associate that with, I think, with turkey and being sleepy. But amino acids are what make up protein. So anytime you eat a protein, you're going to get amino acids. There's 11 essential amino acids, which means you have to get them in your diet, or you can't get them anywhere else. But these amino acids do some amazing things. And in the case of 5-hydroxytryptophan, it combined with certain B vitamins, magnesium, and vitamin C, that's what makes serotonin, the happy hormone serotonin. And the higher your serotonin, the higher your pain threshold, so the less pain you have. The higher your serotonin, the happier you are, the more mental clarity you have, less likely you are to have IBS. So, again, but you can read all about that on the treatingandbeating.com site. It goes into detail about that.
Okay, wonderful. And then you had said somebody had said about that she realized that the amount that she was taking, she had gotten some, you know, locally, and she realized that she wasn't taking enough. So your supplements have like a higher dose of HTP than what I could normally buy. Is that right?
No, I think that, well, so what I recommend is patients start with 100 milligrams and then they increase up to 300 milligrams, but there's a whole, the protocol's there on the website and in the book. But,
okay.
You know, certain supplements, it doesn't matter. You know, that's the thing. So for the most part, melatonin is melatonin. For the most part, a B-complex is a B-complex, unless you got to,
uh-huh.
You know, there's people have sensitivity issues to corn and that kind of thing. So, but for the most part, but when you start using vitamins and minerals, amino acids, like I do, like a drug in high doses, but the right doses, then you want to make sure what you take works. It's got to be, so you really focus in on the quality. There's a lot of, you know, good stuff out there, but there's a lot of junk out there. And so what I want to make sure when I'm working with my patients is when they take what I recommend, I want to know that if it does not work, it's not because it's a bad product. It's because it just isn't going to work, and we need to move on.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I talk about the things that I use in my practice. You can get these things. You know, they're available. But in my practice, I use certain things, and I do it that way, again, because of using them for 2 decades, I know that they work, why they work, and if they don't, you know, we cut to the chase pretty quickly, you know, since I'm doing that and being on it.
That makes sense. Now, I already take a lot of supplements, and some I do know work really well for me, like, for instance, L-glutamine. I come across that just by chance by taking something to build my immune system, and I realized that my pain was a little decreased, and so I narrowed it down and figured out that it was L-glutamine that was doing it, and I've been taking it for like the last 6 or 7 years because of that, and I swear by it, but I swear that some products are better than others, you know, I've bought it at various places.
Yeah. Sure.
And so, you know, yeah, the quality is a big thing. Another thing, too, I know I'm part of a fibro group on Facebook, and we all talk about our need for magnesium, and I know magnesium oxide just does not work at all, or we don't absorb it. So,
right,
yeah,
right.
Quality is important. One last question, and I'll let you get to the other callers.
I got to get Linda. I think Linda's next, and then we got Cindy and Cindy.
Yeah. Do you always recommend Jumpstart, or is that just for specific patients who need that, who would really need everything that's in Jumpstart?
Well, the Jumpstart is, again, I keep saying if you go on their website, treatingandbeating.com, you can read about these things, but the Jumpstart's on there, it's discussed in the book, and the Jumpstart's 4 products, so it's the CSS Fibro formula, which is 7 or 8 pills, which have all the amino acids in it, essential fatty acids, high doses of B vitamins, malic acid, magnesium, high doses of magnesium, and that really lays the foundation to make sure the person is addressing any kind of biochemical nutritional deficiencies, and oftentimes people feel better on that. Then there's a digestive enzyme, because just about everybody with fibro has some type of digestive challenge, whether that's GERD or reflux or IBS. And
mm-hmm.
then the 5-HTP is included in that for obvious reasons that we've talked about. And then the other thing is that most every patient has adrenal fatigue, so their stress coping gland that allows them to handle stress is not, you know, it's kind of caved in. It's not working. So
yeah.
Stress is magnified. So the adrenal cortex is there. It's the place to start, and it's in the book, and I talk about that. And so we've got patients in, I think, 8 different countries that order that But when I'm working with a patient one-on-one, my goal is to take all the guesswork out. I want to know.
Okay.
So I know for that person specifically what they need and why they need it. And so, yeah, they could do the jumpstart, and a lot of times they do, but just as many times they need something different.
Yeah, and I've done a lot of those things that are in the jumpstart, like the enzymes and also for adrenal fatigue. My doctor had me on so much Lexapro that it was like I quit absorbing minerals, and so I went to a nutritionalist to get help, and they helped me tremendously to get through all that, but I'm still in a lot of pain. Anyway, I am really looking forward to our phone consult, and I appreciate all that you do. I have your book, and honestly, I haven't had an opportunity to sit down and read, and but I you know, I'm very intrigued by everything you do and appreciative too.
Well, great. Thanks for your call. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
And so, Linda, are you still on the line?
Hello?
Linda?
Hello, this is Linda.
Linda, hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm doing great.
Good. Yes, you sound great. I have a couple of questions. I just want to let you know something first. I've been dealing with fibro for about 15 years now. And it's been like an up and down roller coaster for me. I go through, you know, good periods because like I don't know of anybody who eats healthier than I do. My husband and I both eat organically whenever we can, and we also take, you know, very good supplements as well. And I know without them I would be a lot worse, but. I had a full-time job, which I absolutely adored, but, you know, I had to quit, and I've tried to go back 3 times, and the one time I really thought it was going to work, and it didn't work, and I was 3 hours away from going back full-time, and then somebody rear-ended me again.
Yeah.
So I was very angry and upset, and you can imagine, you know, I felt like I was getting my life back, and that didn't happen. And so that was the last time I tried. But anyway, in the last 5 months, I've been going through a good period. And on February 27th, I woke up again. Boom, my anxiety was back ferociously. And it makes me weak, you know, as well. And my pain was still under control. You know, but it was the anxiety was so bad, and my husband does a lot of research, you know, he's been so helpful to me, you know. He's I don't know what I'd do without him. And the funny thing is, when I found you online, he has been telling me to do a lot of the same things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
good.
So you guys are all right along the same line. And like I've been taking tryptophan for years.
Uh-huh,
like my
good.
Doctor has to write me a prescription for that because we can't buy it here anymore because of what happened years ago, right? And with it was tainted or something.
Well, it's available over the counter now. It has been for
last. Oh, but I'm in Canada though.
Years.
Sorry.
Oh,
I'm
you're
in Canada?
Canada? Yeah. No. Hmm. No, but you know you can get 5-HTP. And
well, yeah,
5-HTP,
I tried
yeah.
it. I bought some because it stopped working for me, it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried some 5-HTP. I don't think it's a very good quality, though, so I was planning on ordering yours.
Yeah.
Because you talked about
tryptophan.
In some of them?
No, right. I'm sorry?
You talked about this substance X that might be in some of the 5-HTP.
Oh, PKX, yeah.
PKX, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how many out there do you think that have this PKX, or is it just like you're guaranteeing that it's not in yours? Is that?
Well, I think it's you know, certainly a rarity now. You should never see it in 5-HTP, but in tryptophan, that's made from, you know, a bacteria, whereas 5-HTP is made from a plant.
Okay, but we did read your book.
I mean, my husband has read almost all of your book now, and I've read some of it. I just can't read as well as him.
Anyway, I think you know.
You don't think tryptophan is as good to take as 5-HTP then?
I don't. For most people, it's not, because tryptophan has got to be converted into
5-HTP and then 5-HTP to serotonin, right?
Right. Right, so you've got another step that could go wrong there. And some people genetically can't make that conversion.
Okay. That makes sense, you know. But it did work for me at the beginning, though. I felt sleepy 20 minutes after I took it, you know, but maybe my body is just not converting it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, also, I was just reading, too, that you shouldn't take 5-HTP if, number one, you're on antidepressants, number two, if you're on antihistamines. What do you think about that?
Well, you shouldn't take 5-HTP if you're on antidepressants if you want to feel good.
Because I am weaning myself off all my meds right now, including Oxy. Wish I had never, ever gone on Oxy, but I've done a lot of that on my own. I'm like almost all off Oxy-Neo right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking 70 and 70 a.m., 70 p.m., and I'm down to 10 and 10.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of proud
good.
Of myself for that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And then the diazepam, I was on a higher dose too, and now I'm at 3.5 and 4.
Great.
But with diazepam, it's not an SSRI though. So is that still not a good thing?
Yeah, so, you know, that's a benzodiazepine, so that's an anxiety medication, and so that's different. Yeah.
So then it wouldn't interfere as much as an SSRI?
I'm sorry, would it what now? Would it do what?
Would that not interfere with the 5-HTP as much as an SSRI?
No. I mean, you'll read that if you shouldn't take 5-HTP if you're taking an antidepressant, because you have run the risk of getting serotonin syndrome, which can elevate your heart rate, blood pressure.
I read that, yeah.
Yeah, but that's so rare, and you'll know it right away when you start taking it. I mean, I've been using 5-HTP thousands and thousands of patients now over the last 18 years, and I can count on, you know, maybe one hand the times that that's happened. And if you look at the protocols in the book, it tells you exactly how to do it, so that won't happen. And I say that if you're taking antidepressants, those are gasoline additives. They don't make gasoline. They don't help you hang on to what gasoline you have. So the 5-HTP makes the gasoline. That's what makes the serotonin. So
What about the antihistamines? Because I'm on an antihistamine as well. Is that the same thing? Like, don't worry about that, or
no? Don't worry about that. So my patients take 5-HTP with Ambien and Trazodone, Celexa and Balta, all those things.
Okay. Another question. Two years ago, I found out that I had a cortisol deficiency, and so we asked my doctor if he would let me take hydrocortisone, and we did not know about adrenal cortex back then, and so I'm on 20 milligrams of hydrocortisone now in the morning, and what I've tried to do is spread that out during the day because I read that might help, but I've just gotten worse doing that. What I do want to do is gradually switch over to your adrenal cortex instead. Since February 27th when I woke up, I just, especially in the mornings, like, and in the nights I'm not as bad, but in the morning I'm just a basket case, and would it be inadvisable to up my hydrocortisone by 5 milligrams just until I started on the adrenal cortex? Because you have to wean yourself off that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're taking Cortef. You're not taking prednisone. You're taking
Cortef. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can. If you look at my book, it'll tell you about the work with William Jeffries, who was an endocrinologist, his book, The Safe Uses of Cortisol. And
I don't think my husband's got to that part yet.
Yeah, okay.
He's been telling me
could.
Everything he's been reading.
Yeah, so you could. But, I mean, that's
okay,
an
so
option.
You do talk about cortisol in there, okay. Or
oh,
the
yeah.
Cortef.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I do. So, would it be okay? Can you just tell me if I could take 5 more tomorrow? Because I know when I first started taking it, it made me feel like a new person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what you want to do is find out why your adrenals are so low. I mean, you got to address that issue. And that's the thing about no one's got a, no one's got a clonopin deficiency, you know. So you got to figure out why you have these symptoms. But yeah, I mean, you certainly could. Now, you know, I'm not your doctor, so I can't tell you that.
No.
But, you know, but, you know, that's certainly an option, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Because, I've got all the symptoms of cortisol deficiency, you know, even though I'm taking 20. And like,
mm-hmm.
I've got severe hot flashes, ice cold hands, night sweats, you know, and I've tried the hormone replacement therapy. It didn't help. You know, I'm 57, you know, so I thought in the past it was just menopause, you know, but it's not. It's fibromyalgia, you know, and with the DHEA, I know it's for men, it's converted into testosterone, and women estrogen, but it doesn't, well, it won't give me my progesterone though, right?
If you need it to, yeah, if you need it to, but you know, do you need estrogen? Yeah, but do you need estrogen? Do you need progesterone? What are your levels? So that's what you
right.
need to know.
Oh, I'm going
to
get them retested again.
Yeah, you got to do some detective work is what you got to do.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
Yeah,
I just had my thyroid tests all done, and my TSH is 4.99. And I
so
heard
you got
tell someone today that at 3 was not good.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to tell you. You're probably hypothyroid. Yeah, you're high, and so you are. You just verified what I was going to tell you.
Yeah.
So you have low thyroid. You have hypothyroid, and it wouldn't surprise me if you had elevated thyroid antibodies, which is driving these symptoms that you're trying to be masked with the cortisol. So.
Well, because my husband read that in your book, I did try to get those tests done too. They did one of them, but they wouldn't do the other one. And I've got here one. The results, it says 7.
Mm-hmm.
And the reference is under 34 is normal.
That's TPO. But you need a TGB, too. So, again, case in point, why don't work with other doctors?
Yeah, they won't do that test in Canada at all.
Yeah. Well,
I have to go down to the States to get this done then?
No, when I work with patients in Canada, we actually send them a special test kit test the thyroid so we can test that.
You can do that saliva tests, or?
No, it's blood test. That's a blood test.
Okay, because I'm seriously considering doing a consult with you.
Great.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. Good.
Yeah, so I'm very, very interested in the work you're doing, and I read you every day.
Well, great. Well, I appreciate your question and your comments, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Yes, and I appreciate everything you do.
Thanks, Lindy.
Thanks.
Okay,
thank you.
You're so welcome. So I'm trying to wrap it up and get my 6-year-old in bed tonight. My wife's with my other ten playing lacrosse tonight. So, but I got 2 Cindys on the call. So let's see if I can get your question. So Cindy number 1, you want to go ahead?
I have just really 2 questions. I've been listening and. As everybody with fibromyalgia, I have trouble sleeping. And about 2 years ago, my medication just really got out of hand. My medication would work for a while, and I'd go back in, and, you know, I'd say, okay, it was working wonderful, and now it's not working, and they'd give me something in addition to what I was taking but never take anything away. It really got at hand. So, I decided to not see the rheumatologist anymore. And with my primary care doctor, she was going to help me get off of a lot of medications that I'm getting off of. So by doing that, I quit work because I knew that, you know, by getting off of some of my meds, I would probably have many flare-ups, and I have. And but one of the main things that I've gotten off of is my sleeping pills. And I find that I'm very tired during the day. I kind of get a burst of energy about this time of night. And I can stay up till about probably 2 or 3 in the morning. And then I'll get kind of a good sleep, wake up maybe six or seven, stay up a few hours, and then I'll go back to sleep. And I sleep really well when I do that. Is it a problem with like my husband says, it's not that I can't sleep. I just can't sleep when everybody else is sleeping. Is it a problem to get sleep whenever you can, or should I really just try to stick with the nighttime trying to sleep?
Well, ideally, the way God made us in our sleep-wake cycle, our circadian rhythm, and all the studies show this, is that you should be winding down and be asleep, you know, before midnight. That's kind of the witching hour. And then you should, you know, it really, as the sun goes down, you should be winding down. But ideally, you're in bed and asleep, and you're getting 8 hours of sleep somewhere between, you know, 10 and 8 a.m., you know, depending on what time you go to bed. That's ideal. Having said that, you know, as long as you don't have to work, you know, if you're flexible, as long as you're getting that sleep, it's not a huge issue. But what I see mostly in my practice is people struggling to get to sleep and stay asleep, and part of that is they try to go to bed at 10 and they get their second wind, and they can't turn their mind off, or they can't go to sleep, and that's because your sleep-wake cycle, your circadian rhythm has become disrupted over the years,
right.
And part of that is
right.
Your self-regulating mechanisms, your control center that regulates these things has crashed, and that's the hypothalamus. Regulates your body temperature, sleep-wake cycle, your pain threshold, your bowel movements, you know, all those things.
Right.
And when it crashes, everything just starts to go haywire.
Right. So I'm in the process right now of trying to schedule an appointment with you through Juno, and I think we keep missing each other. But I will get that scheduled. But my second question is, I've been getting off of a lot of the medications that I'm on, and someone had touched on Cymbalta earlier, and I just have a question on that. I do want to get off of that. I take currently 60 milligrams. I was at 90, and I'm at 60 of the Cymbalta. What would be the best way to get off of that, milligram-wise?
Mm-hmm. So I'm not your doctor, so I got to preface that, okay?
Okay.
Here's how I do it with my patients. So with the Cymbalta or any of the antidepressants that I'm working with, now not the benzodiazepines, those are totally different, but the antidepressants, you typically you cut that dose in half and you leave it at half for 2 weeks. And
okay.
then you take it down another half, and sometimes that's opening up, you know, a capsule and doing the best
right.
that you can. You keep halving that, and you go, you know, half for two weeks, and another half for 2 weeks, and
okay.
then you start to go, you go every other day. And then you do
okay.
that for a week or two, and then you do it every third day, and then you're done. Now, at any time you feel that you're having a reaction, a withdrawal symptom to it, all you do is you go back to the dose before you weaned off. So, you see, and you go back and you stay on that for three to 4 weeks, another month, and then you try it again. But if
okay.
you do it slow, you'll never miss it, especially if you're using the raw ingredients to actually make those chemicals, you know, that I talk about in the book.
Okay. Yeah, and I had tried to go less than 60 before, and I was kind of really doing my own thing, but I went from 60 and I would drop down to 30 maybe two times a week, and then I was trying to each week or every other week add another day. So the next week I would take 30 only 3 days a week, and, you know, so on, and I had a hard time with that. But if
yeah.
I know that there's kind of light at the end of the tunnel after you get off of it, I don't mind going through that process again, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Just if you'll do it slow, and if you start to have a hiccup, just go right back to where that dose and just slow down again for a while, then re-challenge
okay.
it. Yeah?
Okay, great. That's all I have for you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have an appointment with you, so as soon as I can get in and get with Juno, I'll get that scheduled.
Okay. Look forward to talking to you.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So do we got Cindy number two on the line?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Murphy. This is Cindy Legowski, one of your newest patients. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Good. I just had a quick question and then a comment or two, if that's okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. I have a friend who has never been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, but she has IBS and sinus infections all the time, and I know she has yeast overgrowth and stuff, and I've been trying to talk to her about calling you. And so if someone doesn't have fibromyalgia or CFS, can you work with them?
It depends. And as you know, those are all things that come underneath the fibromyalgia umbrella. So I mean, when you treat fibro, you treat all, you know, so many things. If they fill out the paperwork, and I think I can help them, yes, absolutely, and I'll let them know. But typically, as you know, I try to work with patients and recommend they work with me in a program. So I don't do as much piecemeal work anymore because my emphasis is on fibro, and you really have to have a – just doing it the hard way – you really have to have a program to get them healthy. But I'm not saying I don't, but I put it this way, 99% of what I do is fibro.
Okay, so if she's got low thyroid, you know, hypothyroidism IBS and yeast overgrowth and the bacteria and stuff, and but she hasn't been, you know, diagnosed with fibro, because you know how hard that is. I mean, it took me $2,700 in blood tests just to get the diagnosis in process of elimination.
Well, yeah, with you sharing all that she has, she's probably one step away from fibro, I guess she could have fibro. That would need to be explored.
That's what I'm thinking, but I'm not a doctor.
Yeah.
And we talk about this stuff a lot. And so I'm encouraging her to call you or fill out the paperwork, and I know she's like real close to doing that. So that's probably the best step, is to have her fill out the paperwork first. And then
and then we'll give her, I mean, if she's not a good fit, I wouldn't want to waste, you know, her time or her $129, but it sounds like she's probably another medical misfit. And you can call it fibromyalgia, you can call it whatever you want to, you know, we've talked about that. Basically, you've got this disease where your body breaks down, and there's, you know, traditional medicine is not the answer.
It's not. And her doctor just told her today that they wouldn't re-prescribe her Adderall because she has ADD.
Uh-huh.
And I know you have something for ADD.
Yeah. Well,
you know, that's going to be a problem for her in probably a couple of weeks when she runs out, if she doesn't get to a psychiatrist or call somebody, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about that. So I wanted to just ask you about that. Okay, so I'll have
to call. Well, make sure you let Gino know who, you know, so we'll be on the lookout for.
Okay, great. And then there's been a couple comments tonight about Lyme disease and fibromyalgia, and I just had a comment about it. It's really kind of interesting because before I found you, I have a very good friend who has Lyme disease, and she's had it for like 3 years, and she goes to a Lyme specialist in New York who has done fantastic work for her. And I, probably about 3 months ago, she just blatantly burst out and said, "You have Lyme disease. I just know you do because you have all the symptoms I have. You feel the way I feel." And so I went through a lot of research of Lyme disease and the cost and the expense and all of that stuff. And I was like sick to my stomach over it. I didn't know what to do because in Texas there are no Lyme disease specialists. It's not allowed. And so I would have to travel twice a month to New York or someplace. And so I had to pray heavily about it and just really weigh it. And then I found you. And I thought, you know, I can't imagine where I could have contracted it. I mean, I was born and raised in California. I can't imagine being bit by a tick in California. I'd never been exposed to anything like that. Now in Texas, it's rare, but it can happen. And so I just didn't really... I just kind of struggled with that. And then I found you. And I just want to say, number one, to anybody who's still on the line, that if you're struggling with whether this is a good idea or isn't a good idea, my belief just in the last 2 weeks, just working with you in 2 weeks, you know, go with the lesser of the evils. I mean, you know, fibromyalgia, I think, is a lesser evil than Lyme disease. And and I knew I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. I know it's a, you know, kind of a garbage can diagnosis, so to speak. And so, you know, you get the comments about, well, they say you have that because they don't know what else to diagnose you with. And they know something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. And we hear that. We've read it in your book and, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
But
right.
What I know in the last 2 weeks is anybody who is on the call, all I can tell you is go in faith, because what you've done just in the last 2 weeks has mentally made me feel better. And we haven't really gone very far yet.
Right,
and
right.
All I can say is the blood tests that you ordered are different than the doctors are ordering. The, you know, all the tests that you're asking me to do is different than, I mean, I've never had to do some of the tests that you've asked me. I've never had some of the tests that
right.
you've asked me to do. And I'm so excited and elated that somebody is looking at this, not, you know, to me, but for me and with me and working. And I really appreciate you. And I will tell you that it's a scary leap because, you know, like most of the people on the call, we all found you on Facebook.
Right.
I found you on Facebook
right.
and I started reading
yeah.
and looking at your videos and everything. And, you know, I was scared to death to tell my husband, but, you know, he has cancer or has had cancer. He doesn't right now. And, you know, I don't care what the illness, disease, or condition is. If you're not functioning and you're not well, you have to do something. And, you know, our health is primary. And I just know what you're doing is going to work for me. I mean, I just got my supplements yesterday, and I got my grape juice today, and I'm excited. To
yeah, awesome.
Take my 5-HTP tonight and get a sleep that has no crazy dreams going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I know you're trying to get your son to bed, but, I mean, I think it's your son, 8-year-old son?
It is. It's, yeah, Harris, yeah.
Yeah,
six-year-old.
To bed. So
yeah.
I won't keep you, but I just felt like I just had to make a couple of those comments, and then I wanted to check about my friend Robin, so.
Well, great. Well, Sydney, thank you for sharing, and I look forward to knowing, you know, learning more about Robin and getting her paperwork, and very, very excited about working with you and getting you turned around. I'm really excited about that.
Thank you. Me too. I want to get back to work really bad because I haven't been able to work in about 3 years, so I'm really excited. So thank you so
yeah.
much. You have a great
You're
evening,
welcome.
Okay?
All
right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining me tonight for my Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. I hold these conferences every week. Now, next Tuesday night, I will not be on the line live, but I do have something special for you that I'm in the process of preparing, and you don't want to miss it. So it's going to be for those of you who want to know more about fibromyalgia, want to know more about the protocols, want to know more. Make sure that you opted in to the endfibronow.com so that you're getting notices about the teleconferences, because we'll send out a message through that. Actually, I think it'll be just a broad email. I'm not sure how we're going to do that. But there's going to be a webinar, and you'll be able to, if you're on the email list, you'll get notifications of that. And so I did something special for you, and I hope you enjoy it next week. But I will be back live 2 weeks from tonight and every Tuesday night, looking forward to your questions. In the meantime, I encourage you to check out my website, treatingandbeating.com, and you can find out more about the blog, thefibrodoctor.com there. You can learn more about the protocols. You can watch free videos, listen to past audios, listen to testimonials, all sorts of resources there. I encourage you to get the book. If you can't find it in bookstores, I understand that it's sold out again. And so you might have a challenge finding it at your local bookstore. But you can order it on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or you can order it on my website there at treatingandbeating.com. We do have, I think we've got about 20 copies left. So this is Dr. Roger Murphy, the Fibro Doctor. Thanks for joining me tonight, and I'll hopefully take your questions in the next couple weeks. Take care.